I think it was expected that I would be, one, conservative, and two, anti-Common Core.
In terms of your concerns over the federal reach and the federal control, did you already have that? Did you feel those concerns at that point, or have you kind of seen more of that?
More concerned, and this is a result of my experience on the board. As an example, early in my term, as I realized A to F was being reworked, we were going to come up with a new accountability matrix, I raised concerns about there not being enough data indicators, that it was too test-focused, did not really reflect the totality of what was going on at a school. And I have good examples, such as Brown County Junior High, which is a C school, but has these centers of excellence and happy parents and exemplary programs. And so I went in to meet with staff, both Board of Ed and Department of Ed staff, with some ideas for how we could add indicators. And I, things like the French, National French Exam, the National Spanish Exam, all sorts of things that schools might be doing depending on what those schools focus on. And I was told, oh, well, this wouldn't work because of this federal regulation, or we couldn't do this because of Title I this. And I was just stunned that almost every idea I had to bring to the A to F conversation was basically nixed as a result of federal regulations. And so that was kind of the beginning of my discovery that really the State Board of Ed implements federal government mandates.
Are you in favor, I guess, of pulling out completely of the federal oversight?
I haven't actually decided yet, but I think I could go in that direction if there were a little more research done. The one study that I was able to find suggests that the cost of complying with federal mandates is about equal to what we get from the federal government. And so if it's truly a wash, I would say sever that tie with the federal government and face the consequences, which may not be very severe.
And would that money be, you know, the $1.2 billion, and then also in terms of Title I dollars?
Yeah, but my supposition is that the savings would cover what you lose, and you could continue to fund low-income schools or struggling schools using existing state dollars. We just spent how many man hours preparing a 470-page waiver document? I mean, who knows how many employees that took over what period? So again, you need a study, but my guess is that you wouldn't actually end up losing anything.
Is your viewpoint, is it new, is it emerging, is it fringe?
I don't think it's fringe, because the emails I get from both what I would call conservatives and liberals, progressive sort of education reformers and conservative education reformers, they all seem to agree about this, that the federal government has pushed us into a system where half of what we do, we don't even want to do. We're just doing it so we can either have federal dollars or flexibility in spending them. So no, I don't think it's fringe at all. Here's the problem. I feel like we are still fairly new at implementing a lot of the reforms that have come about as a result of NCLB, and folks who've been at it longer than I are still really wedded and committed to those reforms, although the data at this point shows very incremental improvement, and I think those folks are going to be reluctant to pull out of anything that we've started because they think, you know, we're on the uptick, scores are inching up, and so I think that's the real conflict between the reformers who've been at it a while and want to keep giving this federal NCLB a try, and those like myself who may be newer to the policy end of it and go, you know, the gains aren't enough to justify the interference with state sovereignty.
And when you talk about these issues, I mean, do you feel like people on the board agree with you?
No, I feel at the moment I'm in a small minority, but I guess my job is to continue to call it as I see it, and so I'm going to continue to do that.